controlled and regulated by the powerhouse. So electricity is there to regulate a certain amount of light. But it doesn't have as much light as the sun. The sun has much greater light than the bulb. But the sun is the cause of the bulb. Without the sun, there could be no light coming from the bulb. So therefore, you can understand that within the effect, there is a certain amount of the cause. This is logical reasoning. That within the effect, the cause is also there to some degree. In the light bulb, there's heat, and there is light, there is electricity. The sun also has heat, light, electricity, but slightly a bit more, isn't it? So we can understand that similarly, in God's creation, there must also be a part of God there. But at the same time, God is not there. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Behold my mystic opulence. Although everything is resting in me, I am not in it. Behold my mystic power." So this is called mystical power. Mystical power that within the creation, everything is a part of the Creator. Everything is a part of the Creator. And therefore, in our philosophy, we say, achintya veda abheda tattva. Veda abheda means simultaneously one and different. Now, many people would say that's a contradiction. Just like if I say you're a very nice guy, but you're an extremely nasty guy. It seems contradictory, doesn't it? You can't say one without the other. You can't say this water is incredibly hot and extremely cold at the same time. So to say that everything is one and different seems to be very contradictory. But actually, we should understand according to purpose. According to purpose, everything has certain function. What we call the characteristic, everything has certain characteristic. The characteristic of something, the quality of something. So that characteristic is there within every single thing. There is some characteristic. For instance, in the earth, there is taste and smell, isn't it? You pick up some earth, you can smell it, you can taste it. Now, the earth also has many wonderful qualities. For instance, when we talk about water, air, earth, water, fire, air, ether, within the earth, all of the qualities are there to satisfy your different senses. For instance, nice flowers come from the earth and you see them with your eyes. You see, when you're looking in a beautiful garden full of nice flowers, the earth is giving you these flowers, but your eyes are seeing. You're not seeing them with your ears, isn't it? You're seeing with your eyes. So the earth is the mother. What do you call the mother? Because the earth is giving you beautiful flowers, giving you lots of nice foodstuffs, just like the grass. Grass is useless. There's loads of grass here. But if you transfer it through the mother, cow, you get very nice cheese, you get ghee, butter, you get beautiful yogurt, double thick cream. So all of these things are coming out of the earth. So if you try to get a pound of ghee out of the earth, you'll have a lot of trouble. You'll have to dig very deep to find a tin of ghee in the earth. But in the earth, there are trillions of tons of tins of ghee. There are trillions of tons of ghee. But they're hidden, you see? They're hidden. You can't just grab them. You have to have the cow. So cow is mystical animal because the cow is producing beautiful yogurt and milk and giving you very nice ghee. So that also out of the earth comes the vegetables to go with the ghee. It's no good having ghee without some vegetables, is it? So the earth is not only giving you very nice vegetables and ghee, but the earth is also giving you your body. Your body is made from earth. So you're also coming out of the earth. It is explained in Vedic literature that the semina is in the grain. What do you call the, the little living entities are in the grains. When you eat grains, they're transferred into semen in the man. And therefore they become little babies. So even from the earth, the body is coming through the vegetables. Then it is entering into the body and transferred into the mother. Who, why do we call her mother? Because the mother means to give so many things, isn't it? Your mother gives you your breast milk. She gives you very nice sabjis. She looks after you, changes your nappy, isn't it? She's doing many kind things for you. So this earth is also doing so many nice things for us. So many nice things are coming there. But if the earth is the mother, Prabhupada said, who is the father? We can't have mother without father. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vijaham, that I am the seed-giving father. Everything is in its seed form. Everything in creation has a seed. You come out of a seed, the grass comes out of a seed, the whole universe comes out of a seed. That seed is coming from Krishna. Just like when you see a picture of Krishna, from every pore of his skin comes a universe. You see? So within that universe, the Lord enters into as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and he creates all the different planetary systems within the universe. Again, he enters into every atom of the universe by his sustaining power. So these three things, creation, sustenance and destruction, they are all the wonderful nature of God. God is the all-powerful creator. He is the all-powerful sustainer. Just like everybody needs some sustenance. That's why you need some money to buy some food. You need sustenance. You need some fresh air. We are breathing in. We are taking for granted this lovely air which is going into our chest, into our lungs, and giving us vitality, isn't it? When you breathe nicely, you have nice vitality. So you're taking so many things for granted. We are taking our nice sabji for granted, our nice yogurt, our nice milk, our nice ghee. We are taking all the grains for granted. We are taking the fruits and the beautiful arrangement of nature. Everyone is very much in awe of nature. But nobody knows who is the father of nature, who is the cause of nature. Just like I may be very attracted to the light bulb, but if I don't know what the sun planet is, then my knowledge is only a very small portion of the truth. So therefore, this Yamadasya, Itaratasya Tetsu Abhigyasparat, Tejo Varni Vritam. Tejo Varni, Teja means fire. That the original seed ingredient of nature is fire. Fire, Tejo Varni, water. Just like if this whole planet is made up of earth and water, your body is made up of earth and water. Tejo Varni Vritam. Fire, earth, water, there's some air mixing, and by some powerful arrangement of nature, there are billions and billions of different transformations and permutations of different types of bodies. Just like in this room, everyone's got a different nose. Did you know that? If you look at all your noses, they're all different. Nobody's got the same nose. Nobody's got the same ears. Nobody's got the same toes, isn't it? Have you got the same toes?
Same ears.
No, it's other people. His ears are different from yours. Have a look. You see? And each one of you have got a different mind. Isn't it? No two minds are alike. That's why you have all these lovely marriages. Where one mind is thinking one thing and the other is thinking the other. And after a while, there's something clashing, isn't it? There's a little clashing. So this is all wonderful. Because this is the creation of Krishna. From he took some earth, he took some water, some fire, air, ether, mind, and death, and ego, and he made all these wonderful little people that run around all over the place. All with different types of legs and toes and ears and eyes. And they've all got different types of mouths. And they're all running around busy, busy, busy. Some are chasing after one thing, some are chasing after another. All of us. The one characteristic of all of them are they are fully dependent. Everyone is fully dependent upon what? What are we dependent upon?
Krishna.
Krishna's energy. Krishna means energy. God is energy. We are the energetic. God is energy. That is the difference. We are energetic. Energetic means we are a product of energy, but we're not energy in the creative sense. We're energy in the manifested sense. God is never manifested. We are manifested, what is called, in the Bhagavad Gita explains, that vyakta avyakta, that sometimes it's manifested, sometimes it's not manifested. So this is a very wonderful thing. This is called tejo varni mridamyata, that just like there is sometimes an illusion in the desert, you see water. If you go to the Saudi desert, I've been to Saudi desert, you can see a big lake on the horizon. But if you go there, you won't get one drop of water. So this is illusion. This is called phantasmagoria. So phantasmagoria is a dream world. We are living in dream world where we are fantasizing. Everyone here has fantasized, haven't you? You fantasize about the beautiful wife you're going to get, or new money you're going to get, or when you look in the mirror, sometimes you have to fantasize. You have to fantasize. You have to think things are going to get better. Because they can't get much worse, at least in my case. So we fantasize because we are living in fantasy world. We are living in fantasy world. Fantasy world means like a dream. As Shakespeare said, the world is but a stage, and everyone is but an actor who is playing out his part. That may not be quote for quote. Rihanna, you know the quote for quote? No?
Well, the world's a stage, and we are merely players.
Oh, very good. Speak the whole thing, then there's something else.
The whole play?
No, that's it. He said, we are merely plays upon it. Who?
Oh, I don't know.
Huh? Not very many good Shakespeareans here. But basically, the gist of it is that we play our part and then bow out. We come to this world, the world is a ginormous stage. It is like a theater floating in space. Can you imagine a big stage floating in space? So, we are like the little actors, we pop in. Just like sometimes they pop out of the curtain, the actor. They play their little part, and they disappear. Nobody knows who they are because they've got a disguise, isn't it? When actors come on in Shakespearean parts, Hamlet or whatever, they're disguised. They could be your father, but you wouldn't recognize. So they come onto the stage, they are dressed in their various forms, they play their little part, and they disappear behind the curtain. You never see them again. Neither did you know who they were, neither did you know where they went. You didn't even know who they were or where they went. But while they're on the stage, they are observable by you. You can observe them, and you can try to understand their part. So we are like that. We come into this world stark naked, and we grow up, we put on a bit of an act, and we disappear. Some of us are good at acting, some are not very good at acting. Some of us are total fools. We trip over and bang our head. Others are very slick actors. But all of us are actors on a stage. We don't really know why we're here. We don't know where we came from. We don't know where we're going, and we're having a lot of trouble getting there. So, the point is that we must understand that we are all totally dependent. We are dependent upon some supernatural power. Supernatural power. Just like when you are taking this food, it is supernatural. Why is it supernatural? Because it's coming out of the stupid-looking flower. So we can understand that people are crazy. Because they're ready to pay $22 million for some droopy-looking flower. And there are billions of flowers that look beautiful. If you go to Africa, you flower. The flower's this big, that big. Butterflies that big. They're amazing. The colors are unbelievable. There's no one who can paint like that. Not even the best artists in the world, if they put all their brains together, could design such a beautiful creation. But we take that for granted. Familiarity breeds contempt, isn't it? We're familiar with Krishna's creation, so we're contemptuous of it. We take it for granted. Just like your mother and father, when they looked after you so well, now they're getting old. You couldn't care less, isn't it? I'm not accusing any individual. I'm saying generally, people say, oh, I don't want them around that room all the time. So we put them in old people's home. We put them in a wheelchair and push them in quick. Get them in there. So similarly with Krishna. There are such beautiful creation of Krishna's creation, but because we don't know where it's coming from, janmadasya, we don't know where it's coming from, therefore we are not appreciative of how it came, what it is, or why it's there. So human life is meant for understanding the cause, not only the effect. Animal means to be absorbed in the effect, you see? An animal is also looking at grass, but the animal couldn't care tuppence where it came from. They couldn't get tuppence because, as far as the animal's concerned, it tastes good. That's all. That means animal life. Animal life means to put in your belly. So, but not to think, oh, how such a nice thing is coming in my belly. You see? Such a nice sweetness. Such a nice taste. You know, there was one yogi. He said that he could turn food into gold. More than gold. So people could not believe him. So he made a challenge. So he got one couple, and he put gold on the table, and he put a nice, very nice loaf of bread and butter. So he said, I will turn this butter and bread into more valuable than that gold. So they couldn't understand that gold was there. So he told them, you have to sit here and look at both of them and see which one becomes more important to you. So they sat there day after day. And then they were so starving, they ate the bread. So the gold became insignificant. So actually, in reality, just like if I fill this room with American $100 bills, but you haven't eaten for 2 weeks, they'll do you no good. If you come in here, you can't eat the American dollar bills. So you will starve to death. But if there's some nice food stuff in here, you will become very happy. You see? So we should understand where happiness comes from. It comes from the variegated situation, as Bhaktisiddhanta said, the variegated situation which is opposed to undifferentiation. Undifferentiation is negation of reality. So therefore the Vedanta Sutra is dealing with what is the reality of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is identified first of all by his personality. Like anyone, you identify them by their personality. You don't say, oh, when you meet someone, you don't say, hey, you look like you've got some nice bones. You look like your bones are really good. I want to have a look at your bones. No. Or you don't say, I bet you've got some lovely giblets inside you. I bet you, if you meet a girl and you say, wow, you must have some lovely giblets inside you. You're interested in the personality, isn't it? So you go, oh my dear, Gucci Gucci. You whisper nice things in the air, isn't it? That was my nice daisy pie. So, the taste comes from personality to personality. This is rasa. This is called rasa. We have to have some rasa, sweetness. It comes from personality. So everything is personal in this creation. Just like if you're lying in hospital and I bring you some nice fruit, that's an act of love, isn't it? But if I bring you some pieces of rock or iron, then you'll think, what the heck is this? This guy's an idiot. You'll probably take the rock and bop them on the head. If you haven't eaten anything for 2 days and someone brings you some iron or some paper, there's no real rasa. So we must understand God's creation is full of taste. So that means, where does the taste come from? Just like I've got taste. I've got taste. I've got a tongue. I've got a nose. Now, if you notice, everything you've got, you're always stuffing things in it, isn't it? In the ears, then we come here to stuff lots of sound in our ears, isn't it? We're stuffing up our nose. We want the nice smell of posy and flowers and so many nice lumps. You go around all day. Boy, you smell it. So you have good smells, bad smells. Especially these toilets are going to really start to smell. So then you go into a nice garden, there's some nice smell. So there's always something going in, into our ears, into our eyes, into our nose. Why is everything going in and not much coming out? You see? What comes out? As you look at your contribution to this planet, it's not a lot, is it? Let's be honest. What have you actually contributed towards this planet? Huh? In terms of material content, not a lot. What you've done is you may have, what you call it, recycled biological degradable items. But in actuality, your contribution is zero. It's not really much. The only thing you can contribute is from here. You see? So human life means to give some contribution in the sense of developing your buddhi yoga. Krishna says buddhi means intelligence. Intelligence means to understand how things work. That's why in technology, the biggest scientists are all the ones who know how things work, isn't it? Liana, they have to know how things work. This is called technique. The technique of understanding how things work. It is not a creative science. It is not a creative science. It's an exploitive science. It is a science of exploitation, not creation. So therefore, the tendency of man is to exploit the situation, to use various types of techniques, just like a thief. When he wants to rob a bank, he needs a good technique. You can't just walk in and grab the money. and hope that you get away with it. You have to have a very intelligent formula for separating the money from the bank. So similarly, we come into this world and we develop various types of technique in order to, what? In order to benefit ourselves more and more. We need more and more benefit because we're always in need. We're always in need. We need more sense gratification. We need more happiness. We need more love. Who doesn't need love here? Anyone doesn't need any love? Who doesn't want to be loved? Yes, we need love, but we can't get it very easy. It's not easy to find love. When people got love, they become busy, isn't it? When they fall, have you ever seen couples when they fall in love? They're gone. Because we're very anxious for love, but we don't know what to love. That is the problem. Individually, we can love each other, but we are the effect. So, one effect loving another effect is not full, it's not complete. It's not complete love. Because that love is only partial. But because we belong within the unlimited, we need unlimited love. You see? Unlimited. Just like you want to be happy, unlimited. You don't want it just a little drop of happiness, is it? If I put your tongue, that's your breakfast. Isn't it? For breakfast you get a little drop. That's it. No. You need substance. Substantial. So everybody wants to find some substantial love, some substantial happiness, some substance in this material world. But the substance here is inferior. That is the problem. It is not that it's not a substance. It's a real substance. But it's inferior. Inferior in what? It's inferior in its function. The function is inferior. Just like this body is definitely a substance. And it definitely functions, but it is inadequate, inadequate function. So we are always trying to make it adequate. We want to have some adequacy, some wholesomeness. We want some wholesomeness. So wholesome means absolute. Absolute truth is the absolute, means the complete wholesomeness. So God is completely unlimited. There is absolutely no limitation in God. And there's no limitation in this creation. Just like if I ask you to count how many pieces of grass in this field, will anyone be able to count? I will give you 100,000 pounds if you count every blade of grass in the country of England. You can't count. It's not possible. Because it's unlimited. Just like your hair, you can't even count your hair. Because there's so many of them, isn't there? So when there's too many, we become bewildered. We can't, it's out of our scope. So God is unlimited in every way. His creation is unlimited. If you look at night, you see unlimited planet. Your body is full of unlimited arrangement. There's so many different arrangements. You can't fathom the body in a whole lifetime. Everything is wonderful. Wonderful means beyond human conception. Therefore, God is called Adhokshitya. Adhokshitya means beyond the scope of the senses. It's not difficult to understand. Just like everyone sitting in this room. Can anyone see their eyelashes? They're the nearest things to your eye. Your eyelashes. Who can see your eyelashes? Let's all have a go. First one to see their eyelashes. No, you can't touch them. You have to see without touching. Can you see? But they're the nearest thing to you. You can't get any closer than that. And we can't see the planet Jupiter. Has anyone seen the planet Jupiter with their eyes? Have you seen? Fully? No, a little bit. You haven't seen fully with your eye. Maybe through a telescope, but not through eye. So anything which is too far away is inconceivable. Anything which is too near, your eyelashes are inconceivable. Do you know that? Technically, they're inconceivable because you can't see them. That means inconceived. Conceived means to conceive, isn't it? And inconceivable means beyond your conception. So therefore, what to speak of God? How can we say that God is perceivable by our tiny little pea brain? Our brain is only very tiny. We can just about understand very things. We can understand things when they're at a certain distance. Just like my eyesight is going. If I put the book here, I can't see anything. If I come here, I can see. No, I can't see anything here. Here I can see. You see? Within what is called a condition. Under a certain condition, I can function. So that condition is there beyond my control. I have no control over my condition. My condition is I was born in a certain family, I grew up in a certain country, I went to a certain school, I did so many things. So my life is just a whole load of conditions, isn't it? It's a whole bunch of conditions. Most of them I have no control over whatsoever.